Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi. Baba Metzia Daf Chav Zayin, we are holding at the Mishnah, which is seven lines off the top of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, we have a pasuk. You find a lost item, whether it's a donkey, whether it's an ox, whether it's a sheep, whether it's a simlo, a garment, right? Kol avedas achicha. Any lost item, you find it, you return it. So why does the pasuk have to single out, let's say, a simlo, garment? Isn't that included in kol avedas achicha, right? Af ha simlo hoisa bechlal kol elu. So the simlo that you found is really, you know, just another item. It's included in the general term of kol avedas achicha. So why did the Torah single it out? Why mention it separately? To teach you something. To connect all avedas, all lost items, to a simlo. It has to fit the criterions found in simlo. That, and only that, will trigger the mitzvah of Hashavas Avedah. L'hakish aleo. V'loy melech, and to tell you. Ma simlo. What's unique about a simlo? It's man-made. It has unique identifying signs. There's a person behind it. Somebody claiming it, right? Ma simlo miyuchedes. What's unique about a simlo? Sheyesh bo simanim. It has unique, you know, identifying symbols, v'yesh lo toivin, and presumably it's owned by somebody who would like to have it back. Right? It's man-made, it was made by somebody, it was purchased by somebody, this fellow wants it back, it's still before Yush, right? Av kol dover, sheyesh bo simanim, v'yesh lo toivin, chayv l'hachros. Likewise, another item found in the street. You will only return that item. You will only be obligated to be machris, to call out, to seek the owner, if it fits the bill. It has simanim, and the owner has not yet given up on it. So just as the simla has simanim, Rashi says, stam simla yesh bo siman. We assume a simla has some unique characteristics which can be identified by the owner. And yesh bo toivin. Because presumably it wasn't just dropped down from the sky, it was man-made. Right? Rashi says it was Nasis Bidei Adam. Right? So there's somebody behind the simla who would like to have it back. Likewise, any item that has these two qualities, it has simanin and it has somebody looking for it, meaning it's pre-use, you have to return it. As opposed to something which the owner already gave up on. He was miyayish. In that case, there's no chiv of Hashavas Avedah. Now, what did the Mishnah mean? Af hasim lahoisa, right? Bechlal kol eilu. What does this mean? Says the Gemara, my bechlal kol eilu. What does it mean, bechlal kol eilu? Amar Rava, it means like this. Bechlal kol avedas achicha. The Torah gives you a general term. All your brother's lost items. That's it. Why add more? Why do you need to, you know, itemize things? And the answer is, like we said in the Mishnah, to teach us the guidelines of the mitzvah of Hashavas Avedah. Amar Rava. But the question now is, why does the Torah have to go through all these different examples? Lamali the kasav rachmano. Why does the Torah have to say shoyr, chamor, se, and simla? Tzrichi, there is a point in each one. The Yikas Rahman is simla. The pasuk only mentions a simla. Havamina, I would think, ha'anemili. When do you have to return the simla? Be'edim de gufa. V'simanin de gufa. If the owner comes with witnesses, or he has simanin on the actual item itself. Look, the simla had a crease there, a tag there. Okay. Aval chamar be'edim de ukav. V'simanin de ukav. E'meloi. Ma'adrin alei. But let's say, you found a donkey. And there are no identifying signs on the donkey itself. Rather, the owner is trying to identify the donkey and claim it as his by proving that the ukaf, the saddle, is his because it had this and this simon on it. Who says that's sufficient to prove ownership on the chamer itself? Maybe that's not enough to require hashavas aveda. Cause of rachmana chamer, that's why the Torah adds chamer, which has a saddle on it, to teach us this very point. Afilu chamer besimani ukaf, that the simanim of the ukaf are sufficient to obligate returning the chamer to the owner. Okay, so we have addressed simla, we have addressed chamer. What about shor and seh? Why are those mentioned? Shor v'seh, the cause of rachmana lamali, what's the point of those? Answer is, shor is teaching that afilu legiza asinavai, that even pertaining to the hair of his tail, that also has to be returned, even though it's just negligible in terms of value. V'seh, the point of mentioning is seh, is legizoysa, to teach you that even the shearings that you've shorn off the seh, that also has to be returned to the owner. Now, v'lichtav rachmona shor, so why does the Torah have to mention both? Just say shor, da'afilu legizas zinovay, which tells you even the little hair on the tail, which is very negligible, right, very insignificant, that has to be returned to kolshkin, sel legizoysa, certainly the sharings of the seh, which are more valuable, more significant, more substantial. So the more you write elam arava. There are two words that we haven't really addressed and found purpose for them. Chamar debar the Rabbi Yehuda. The word chamar in the psukim regarding a bar, right? An animal falls into a pit and you have to pay for the damages. So we the chachamim learn from chamar veloi kalim. You only pay for a chamor who fell into a pit, but not for his equipment. You're putter on that, as we learned back in Bava Kama. But Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says you pay even for equipment that got damaged. So what does he do with chamor? We're not sure. So that's one word we're not sure about. Viseh. And likewise, the apparently extra word seh, which of course is not extra, we don't have an application for it. Viseh da aveda, the word seh found in the Sukkim of Hashavas Aveda, as we just mentioned, liver akhoel according to all shittes. Kashi, we're not sure how we apply those words. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? Ve'ema l'glola mudo'asim, maybe the point is to include the animal waste. Right? So that's the point of adding seh, to tell you even this insignificant material has to be returned to the owner. Well, that's not true, says the Gemara. Glolim, afkuri mafkul, who the owner allows the buyer, the finder who would trouble himself to look after the animal, he allows him to keep that. That's not that's not something you have to return. Okay. Perhaps the word seh is coming to drive home the point that claiming an item by way of identifying its simanim is mina Torah. The Torah allows that to be considered a form of confirming the owner. No, it's not just midrabbanan. Minat Torah, it's so. The Bailan, because we have a shaila, an ongoing question. Siman and Torah. I said the Rabbanan. Returning a lost item by way of identifying the simanim, is that minat Torah? Or only midrabbanan? So perhaps that's why Kasa Rahman is said, the Torah mentions said, Afilub is simanim adrinah, to teach you that simanim are a proper means of identifying an item. The simanim derais, right? So why can't we say that? Answer is Amri. The answer given was Midiktani Luhu Tana Lisimon Gabi Simla. Let's backtrack to the Mishnah. The Tana, who knew the secrets of the Torah, right? He chose to dwell on Simla when he presented this concept of Simon. Right? Diktani, as the Mishnah says, Ma Simla Yuchedes, Sheish Labisimonim, Sheish Latoivin, Chayv Lachris, Afkal Dover, Sheish Bisimonim, Sheish Latoivin, Chayv Lachris, right? That was the Mishnah. Apparently, Simonin is connected to Simon, not to Seh. Shmamin of the Seh, lovely Simon of the Os. Apparently, Seh is not coming to teach us that point. And, we're not sure what the word Seh is coming to teach us. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Asher Toivat. Right? So you find something which was lost. Asher Toivat Mimenu, lost from him. Umetzasa, which you found. The word Asher Toivat is teaching us that the item found must have a minimum value to it of a pruta. Prat la veda shem bashav pruta, as opposed to something which is worth less than a pruta. Rashi says, it's not called an aveda. It's not called a loss. It's such an insignificant, negligible loss. It's not a loss. It doesn't justify as being called a loss. Rabbi Daimari has a different angle. The word umutsasa teaches us that very same point. You need to find something of value. Prat laveda, sheba shavaprut, as opposed to something which is less than a prut. Rashi says, otherwise, it's not called a matziah. What have you found? It needs to have value. So bottom line, Shabbos Aveda is only applicable to something with a minimum of a shavaprut. Now we have two drashes, right? Is it based on Asher Toivad? Is it based on Mitzvah? It might be not any difference between this or that. They're both on the same track. It needs to have a pruta. It's just a question of which word to learn it from. Mar Nafkali Asher Toivad. He learns it from there. Or Mar Nafkali, the other sheet, he learns it from Nafkali Mitzvah. Okay. Ulumad Nafkali Asher Toivad. Now, if you learn from Asher Toivad, what do you do with Mitzvah? Hi, Mitzvah, my Avid Light. Well, that has another application. Now, Rabbi Noy tells us in Bava Kamma that only an Aveda lost by a Yisrael must be returned, but not of a Goy. And even if you picked it up and you already have it, you still don't have to return it. Matsasa, the Asoy Liyad Mashma, because in describing the fellow who found the item, the Pasuk says, Matsasa, which means you already picked it up, you have it in your possession, and still, if it's a guy's item, you don't return it. Okay, so that's what we learn from Mitzasa. Now, the other opinion that learns the Pruta halacha from Mitzasa. What does it do with Hash Tevan? That's Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan, Shem Shem Rechai. We had this the other day. How do we know that if an item was swept away by the floods? Totally inaccessible, totally written off. Anybody who finds it can keep it, even though it has a siman. Shenemar, that's the pasuk, right? Kein tassel chalavei d'zachicha, hashotei v'tmi menu mitzasa. Hashabbos aveda only applies to something which, you know, you found and the other person lost, but it's still accessible to people, so there's a chiva hashabbos aveda. Mishavude himenu, true, it's lost from the owner, but umitziya, eitz akaladim, but accessible to other people, then we have a mitzvah of hashabbos aveda. Yotzezu, as opposed to something swept away in a flood, shavudo himenu ve'inu mitzui etzakaladim. It's lost from the owner and from anybody else as well. It's inaccessible. That's mutzer, regardless of whether it has a simon or not. So that's what we learn from this pasuk. Ve'ido chadu rabbanai minole. Now, if you learn the halacha pruta from umitzasa, how do you know rabbanai's halacha regarding the aveda of the guy, right? Well, nafkla me'u mitzasa, the extra vav in the beginning of the word includes that halacha as well. V'iduch, now if you learn from Ashatevin Menu that a mitzia needs to be a shavar pruta, so how does he know the halacha of that the flooded item? Hadar abiyuch minale nafkla me'menu, because the extra word me'menu basically drives home that point. It was only lost from the owner, not from anybody else. Then you have a mitzvah, but otherwise if it's lost from everybody, then forget it. V'iduch menu le'mashmalei, the other shita does not focus on me'menu, and therefore it's not extra. Bottom line, a aveda that has no pruta word in value is exempt from Hashabbos aveda. One opinion learns it from Asher Toivad, the other one learns it from Mitzasa, Point Abai. There's no nafkamin al halacha, it's just a question of where to learn it from. Rava disagrees, Rava Amar. There is a difference of opinion regarding where you learn it from. There would be a nafkamin. Pruta shehuz leikubinayu. Suppose when the fellow dropped it, it had a pruta in value, but then it went down in price by the time you found it. That would be a difference. If you learn from Asher Toivad, well, you have that here. Because when he dropped it, it was worth a pruta, so he deserves it back. But according to the other shita, which focuses on the finder, he finds an item of value. He don't have that. You don't have that here. Well, asks the Gemara, even if you hold, they learn the halacha from Asher Toivad, let's not ignore the word of Mitzasa. The fact is, you need to find the item that he lost. And at this point, it's not the same. It's lower in value. But likely you don't have that. So basically, the Gemara is asking that according to all opinions, whether you focus on this word or on that word, at the end of the day, you need to have found the item of value that he lost, which you don't have because it's lower in value. Ella pruta shehukra kibnai. Let's try the other way. He dropped it when it was less than a pruta, and then it went up in value, and then you find it. Mandama umitzasa ika. If you're going to focus on the finding, you have that. Umandama shatoibet lekha. But if you're going to focus on the losing, At that point, they had no pruta.
Well, same gashol. Even if you're going to focus on the finding,
you have to find something significant that he lost. But when he lost it, it wasn't significant. So you should be potter regardless.
Ella rather says the Gemara, let's try another one. Pruta.
It went down and back up. So he lost it as a pruta, it dropped in value, and then went back up to a pruta. So both, when he lost and when it was found, it was worth a pruta, but it fluctuated, it dropped, it dipped below a pruta, somewhere in the middle. So that depends on how you learn the halacha. Why? Man, the amasha tevet ika. If the point is, he lost a pruta, you have that. He lost a pruta and he found the pruta that he lost. Uman damar mitzasa. However, if you focus on mitzasa, you don't have that here. You know why? We learn from mitzasa that it had to have that consistent value from the moment it was dropped until the moment that it was found, without any lull. And therefore, in this case, since it did not maintain that constant value throughout, your pot of mashav asavid. Now comes the big question. Simon and Dai, Raisa the Rabbanon. When we choose to return Aveda, right? The halacha is we return the Aveda when the owner provides a sign of ownership. Is that Minat Torah or is it only Midrabbanon? Minaf Kimin, what's the difference? Bottom line is we do it anyways, right? Well, true, by the Metzia we do it, but by a get. Suppose a fellow claims to have dropped a get. He was sent to deliver a get, he dropped it. He's giving us simanin. Can we return it to him and enable him to deliver it to the Isha? That's risky business. That's going into Isser. La duri get Isha b'siman. I amrstai reis. If simanin can be relied upon in HaTorah, then sure, be my guest. Madrina, we give it back to the Shliach. Vi amrstai Rabbana, but if the concept of Hashabah Saveda b'siman is only the Rabbana, ki ovid Rabbana ta kantav b'mayna. So perhaps we could differentiate that when it comes to monetary issues, Chacham have the ability to enact all kinds of systems. Rashi says, Hefker, Bezen, Hefker. Chacham have the ability to make Hefker if they choose to. So yeah, they tell you to follow this rule and you follow it. Avol b'Yisur l'Avad Rabban Takant. When it comes to a get, which is Isser related issues, who says they have the right to do that? They don't do that. So the question is it the Reis of the Rabban? Toshma, Ava Simla, back to the Mishnah. Right, remember? Why did the Torah single it out? So bottom line, the mission is clearly sourcing the halach of simonin in the pasuk. Well, no. Tana toivin is trichle. Simonin kedin aspa. Perhaps the main point of the Mishnah was that that there's somebody claiming it. Somebody still wants it back. He was not Miyash. That's the main point of the Mishnah. Well, the Mishnah gave an example of Simonin, but it isn't necessarily rooted in the Pasuk. The Pasuk's point is that there's somebody claiming it. How are you going to claim it? How are you going to get it back? Who says Simonin is adequate? Perhaps you need Edom. Witnesses to testify that it's yours. We're not sure. Okay. Toshma, let's go back to the Gemara there, chamar b'simani ukav. Right, the Gemara clearly tells us that a chamar will be returned by the owner who provides simanon on the saddle. So you see, simanon is enough. Ema be'edi ukav. Okay, perhaps again, simanon is lavdafka, means confirmation of ownership, perhaps through edim. Toshma, here comes another raya. V'hoi imcha droi shachicha oisei. So you keep the item with you until your brother comes and claims it. I mean, what's the point of the obviously, you're going to give it to anybody before he actually identifies the item and confirms ownership. So what's the point of the pasuk? The point is, investigate. Verify. You should vet him. Im ramayhu in ramay. Is he honest or not? How do you do that? My love is simanin, apparently through providing simanin. That's how he's going to confirm his claim. Lo, perhaps be'edim, through edim. Tashmai comes another raya. Ein me'edin al parts of ha'porim ha'choytim. So the only way to firmly identify a departed person to allow his wife to remarry is if you can testify that you
saw the person's face with his nose. Right? So that's a way of that's the minimum requirement to recognize a person. Okay? So you have to actually recognize facially and testify that he died. It's not enough to provide simanin in terms of his general body, build, etc., or his clothing. That's not enough. You have to actually see the person, identify him positive. You have to positively identify the person. Apparently, just giving simanin like his, guf, his kelim, that's not enough, because we're not told, that's not sufficient proof. So the Gemara, no. If it would be an absolute, unique simanin, it would work. But here, we're not speaking about personal simanim. Amri, the answer is, when we speak about a simon on the guf, the uruch of goods, he claims to have seen a person who was tall, short. That doesn't mean much. Many short, tall people in the world. And when he's providing a simon on the kelev, on his clothing, perhaps, yeah, it was her husband's shirt, but maybe he lent it to somebody else, and that person died. So there's no way to confirm identity just by noticing his clothing. Well, if that's correct, that we're concerned about lending out stuff. Earlier we said that if the owner identifies the saddle, we know it's his donkey. Who says? Maybe, yeah, it's his saddle, but he lent it to somebody else, and it's somebody else's donkey. Amr, the answer is like this. Nobody lends out saddles, which is custom fit for his own personal donkey, and will damage and harm another donkey if it was placed on it. Amri ukav le'ushuli in shiukav. People don't loan saddles. Mishum de mesakav lechamri. It can, scrape his, if it's not properly sized, it's not going to work. Yibayisim, another way to explain that Mishnah. Kela b'chivri v'sumki. The reason why identifying the departed person's clothing doesn't say much about his identity, because all he was saying was, well, it's white, it's red. It doesn't mean much. Many people have the same style. Asks the Gemara, okay, elohad asani. What about the Braisa, which says, a person dropped a get, and we found a get amongst his belongings. Matzah kosher b'kis, it's tied to his wallet, a barnaki, kis is a money pouch, a barnaki over his wallet, but tabas to his ring. Then he knows it's his shematzoy ben kelev, found it amongst his kelev. Feel his man ruby, even if it's a while later, kosher, he can be sure that it was the get that he dropped, right? What do you mean? If we're concerned about loaning items, kosher bekis, am I kosher? Just because he found it tied to his pouch, who says it's his? Maybe he lent his pouch to somebody else, and that person had to get and dropped it. Right? Answer is like this: these happen to be three items that you don't typically lend out. Amri, the answer is kis va'arnaki v'tabas, a money pouch, a wallet, a ring. It's very personal. Loy mash sheli inshi. People typically don't loan those things out. For different reasons. Kis va'arnaki b'shem de misamni. Interesting. They wouldn't lend out these money-related things because it could be a bad simon. Rashi says, they say it's a bad simon la'odam shemashal kisoy shemeicher le'mazola. It's like a person selling, giving away his good luck. Interesting. So that you keep to yourself. And likewise, nobody lends out their signet, their rings. Because that would allow the person to copy it and forge his letters. So bottom line, there's no concern about loaning out. So to get attached to these things, it's certainly yours. Perhaps this question of how, what degree of reliability do simanim provide? Is it menatayr or not? Perhaps it's a machlekes tanaim. Ein mi'idin, again, we're speaking about testifying that a woman's husband passed away. So suppose, this person was not recognizable, but they noticed some sort of shuma, wart of some sort. Ein mi'idna la shuma. That's not enough, right? Well, your husband had that wart on his forehead, right? We noticed the wart. That's not enough. V'lozir b'mnavoy, ayimar, yeah, mi'idna la shuma. Shuma is sufficient proof of identity. My love, okay, perhaps the machlekes revolves around this question. Tanakama sova simonin derabon. Tanakama says simonin is only derabon, and therefore when it comes to an eshesish, a married woman, you're not going to rely on that to allow her to remarry. Relazim and Avaya Savar, he holds no. Simonin are an absolute proof. Simonin Daraisa. Amar Rav, no. The Kuliyama perhaps all agree. Simonin Daraisa. Vach. And here by the Shuma, there is more reason for concern. Vach b'Shuma Metsuya b'Ben Gilui Kemitzuki. There's a phenomenon called Ben Gilui. A person was born with the same, same mazel. Rashi says, Noilad b'Shato Yishinod b'Mazel Echad, the same hour, the same mazel. So, a person with similar, personal characteristics, may have experienced the same wort. Okay, this wort is for this mazel. So the question is, are we concerned about that possibility or not? In which case, perhaps this person with the same wort was really a different person. So that's the machleit. Kamiflik. Mar Savar Tanakama Hotia. There's a concern about that. Shuma Matsui Ben Giloy. Therefore, it doesn't really show personal identity. Umar Savar Shuma Ena Matsui Ben Giloy. No, it's not something you have to worry about. And therefore, if the Shuma that you noticed fits the bill, then you know it's her husband. Another way to explain is, the Kuli Alma Shuma Ena Matsui Ben Giloy. All agree, it's unlikely that this Shuma was duplicated. V'acha b'simonin ha'suyin l'shtanis la'achar misa kamifliki. The question just is that perhaps this type of shuma may have changed, you know, appearance, the color, upon this person's death. So therefore, it doesn't anymore serve to identify him. Mar savar simonin asuyim l'shtanis la'achar misa. One says it does change. Umar savar simonin ein asuyim l'shtanis. Don't be concerned about change. La'achar misa. Ibn Yisim, another way to explain. The Kuli Alma Shumei Nasuim L'Shtan Zachar Misa. All agree, that's not going to change after death. V'simonin the Rabbanon. And really, Simonin are only with the Rabbanon. V'acha b'shuma simon mubu kamifliki. The question here is, yeah, typically Simonin, a tag, or this, that's not really a solid simon. That's only with the Rabbanon. But here, it's a simon mubak. It's an absolute form of identity. There's no room for mistake here. Right? So perhaps that's different. That provides a higher degree of reliability and confirmation. Mar savar shuma simon mubaku. So one shita says it is a simon mubak, and therefore it's reliable even in Torah. Umar savar tanakama holds no shuma lav does not qualify as a simon mubaku. Amar Rava. Imtim tzalayim simon lav derais. You know what? If we speculate that simonim is not min Torah, so how can we employ the simonim system when it comes to returning a lost item? Hey, chima adrinan avintu b'simonim. Why do we do that? Right? We understand how. Hefkebar is in Hefkebar. But Rashi says, kalima, for instance, mata kana ro, let's figure out why. Mata kana ro chacham b'davar likonis b'sofek lahachzer mamen l'mishen shaloi. That's Rashi's lashon. Meaning, why did Rabbanan get involved in taking this risk and allow you to return an item just by the way of simonim, which isn't a firm, you know, confirmation? Why would we get involved in that and risk, you know, losing the owner, having the owner lose his item? Answers the Gemara. There's a communal understanding, a communal consensus, so to speak, that we follow this system. A person finds an item, you know what, he's willing to conform to the system, to return it through simonim. Because when he loses an item, likewise, he wants to employ that system. So when he loses an item, he can tap into the system as well and have the item returned to him. Very nice, but if the focal point is on the finder, it's like he's agreeable to returning it through simonim. Well, he's not the owner of the item. I understand it's to his benefit, because if he loses it, basically it's not his money. He's taking a risk. He's returning the item to a person who may not really be the owner. Why? Because this is the finder. Because the finder has personal benefits, so that when he loses it, who says he has a say in the matter? It's not his item. How could he take that risk? Or rather, the answer is like this. The focus is on the owner of the item. Let's focus on the owner of the item. He's okay with it. He's agreeable that we employ this system of Simon. Lamei of Simon al-Mishkalei, that he can retrieve his item simply by giving Simon. You know why? May the other day, he knows good and well, he doesn't have witnesses to prove ownership. But maybe he's figuring, look, Kuli Amal Yadi Simonim of Hakim Tah. Your regular person doesn't really have an absolute form of identifying his item. Right? But oh yeah, I have a simon and welcome to the door. Shakil Nulan, I'll provide the best simon and I'll take it. So basically, it's a good system, it works, everybody's happy with it. Asks the Gemara, if that's the basis for simon and Elohadis Nan, what about the Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon Gleil Oimer, right? If the point is that the owner is agreeable, Rabbi Shimon Gleil Oimer, Echad Halevi Mishleish Yachsel Leiva. Right? We had this the other day. You find three loan documents next to each other, and they're all named Reuven, All of them have Reuben Bart from Shimon, Reuben Bart from Levi, Reuben Bart from Yehuda. They're all based on the same Baror. So you know the Baror dropped it. Why else would the three documents be sitting next to each other? That's a Levi. Which basically means documents have been paid up. Otherwise, they wouldn't be by the Levi, right? On the other hand, if you find three documents, all with the same lender's name, so you know it came from him, and the loans are still outstanding, the balance is still due. Now, who says it belongs to the Malva? Maybe it really belongs to the Levi. The answer is because we assume it's his, right? It's like a siman, right? In this situation, you think the Leiva, let's assume the Leiva is really the owner. It doesn't really belong to the Malva. I'm making a mistake. So the real owner is okay with this? He doesn't want us to give it back to the Malva. Amarlis, he said like this, no, Hasam Svaru. There, we don't need the Leiva's agreement. We don't need his consent. Svaru, plain simple logic, that if three are found together, chances are it belongs to the same person, because why would they all have the same name? Right, in the first case, where all three documents have the same baror, we assume it's his. He dropped it, the Gabi Levi Shchichi. Gabi Mavali Shchichi, because apparently it all fell from the same person, because all three documents were in the possession of the Levi, right? That's right? That makes sense. They weren't sitting in the possession of the lenders. Why would they all have the same borrower on them? It's unlikely that three lenders dropped at the same place, right? Shmamino, apparently, right? Milevi Nofel fell from the Levi. On the other hand, with the same lender, all three the same lender, apparently they fell from the lender. Because they're all coming from the Malva, not from the Levi. So it's same, plain, simple logic. Well, we have another kasha. What about the other halach in the Mishnah? You found a bunch of stories, right? And we work with the simon system and we turn it to the, let's say, to the lender, right? Basically, he's going to collect on the loan. How is he asking? What do you mean? Is the Leiva okay with giving it to the Malva? No, he wants it the finder to hold on to it forever. He doesn't want the Malva to collect on it. Elam Arova says Rava like this. Simon and Daraisa. How do we know that Minatira Simon are adequate? Right, that was the pasuk we had before. Hold on to it until your brother comes and claims it. What do you mean? Of course. What, you can give it to him before he claims it? No. You test your brother. See if he's really the owner. In Rama, is he legit or not? And Rav is assuming? How? Are you going to confirm ownership of Simonim? By providing a sign of ownership, Shema Mino, that proves that Simonim are enough, which is interesting because earlier the Gemara brought the same right, the Gemara responded, well, maybe you need Edom, which actually the Gemara is going to speak about in a minute, Be'ez Hashem tomorrow. But Rava went with the track that Simonim is the Raisa, and that's why he learned the Pasuk likewise. Okay, so we have the Sugi of Simonim, we have a Mishnah, and the Gemara goes through all the items mentioned in the Psukim. Each one has a Chiddush regarding Simonim of the saddles enough, and we spoke about the idea of a shava pruta, right? So that it's considered a loss, considered a find. We questioned the concept of siman and how it works. Is it minat Torah? In which case it would work for a get isha. Is it only midrab bonum? So it only works by monetary issues based on bez and hefk. We tried to prove it from a number of places, which didn't really work out. But ultimately, the Gemara says, in the name of Rava, siman is deraisa. All the best to you, and atzlacha Rabbah.